right. Welcome back to the Daryl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You text us that same number. You know, Sandy, man, you keep hitting the hammer. The hammer on the nail.
Hitting the nail on the hammer.
That can't be hitting the nail on the hammer.
No, hitting the nail on the head.
Hitting the nail on the head. You said early on in the Ukrainian war, you said that there's going to be all of this talk about war crimes. And you're not going to be able to believe all of it because one side is going to say something, another side is going to say something else. And as we kind of look at this thing as it's moved forward, this is in the New York Times this morning. Ukraine live updates: war crime inquiries face formidable challenges. Now there's all of this conversation yesterday and today about the rockets hitting shopping mall, and you're watching the news and they're showing photos of a little girl pushing a stroller, and then they show the stroller after she's gone, the stroller's there, and they say, well, you know, they killed this little girl, and they hit the center, and look at all these cars. And I remember you saying, well, it's going to be hard to believe.
Well, the point is that war necessarily involves collateral damage, and as weaponry has gotten more accurate, maybe there's the potential for less collateral damage. But war has always involved collateral damage for civilians. You know, the carpet bombing that was done of Dresden, Germany, and was done across Germany and across Japan, the V2 rockets from Germany to England. The carpet bombing that was done by B-52s in Vietnam, the nature of the attacks that we used in Afghanistan, and the drones that attacks we did there, there's just been significant collateral damage always in warfare, and collateral damage is in some respects has the potential for being claimed as a war crime. The question is, what was the intent? The war crime requires that the intent of the action was to kill civilians and was not aimed at a military object. And of course, the Dresden firebombings and the Tokyo firebombings and a whole bunch of things that have been done in war in the past by us were not aimed at military targets, but they were aimed at taking the military the capacity of a country away by removing public support for the war. And that has become also a strategy in warfare. And it's clearly probably a part of the Russian strategy as well. So I would just venture to say that the amount of collateral damage that's occurring in the Ukrainian war is a relatively small scale based on the overall scale of the war. And so, have there been war crimes? There's a technical definition of war crimes that suggests that some have been committed, and however, that much of what is talked about is more in the nature of collateral damage.
And
the United States retreated to the defense of collateral damage in all of these other wars, defending conduct which was much more likely to cause the collateral damage probably than the stuff that's ongoing now.
Well, you know, if you're an American citizen and you see what we saw yesterday and the day before, and there's this pretty little girl pushing a stroller, her pink stroller, I don't know if you saw it, and then they show this explosion, and they show photos of or film of women standing in an office and the windows blowing in, and then people are going to think right away, well, what did they have to do with the war, right? Those are innocent people, right? But as you stated, you can't, you know, you're at war, man. It's kill or be killed. Isn't that what war is?
Well, the horror of war is the fact of collateral damage. And, you know, there have been, you know, there are videos of the drone strikes that Americans had in Iraq and Afghanistan. I don't know which country, I can't remember which country it was that that struck a wedding ceremony with all these wedding guests, including children, right, and women, civilians, all of them. It just happens, you know, and there's the expression, you know, expletive happens, and it definitely happens in warfare, and it definitely provides fodder for this discussion of war crimes and brutality for both sides, you know. So I suspect that in Russia, there's evidence being provided and publicity being provided to the Russians of war crimes being committed by the Ukrainians. So, you know, I hate to be skeptical, because I think I have a belief that war is almost never warranted, and that while we might have pushed Putin into a corner, that he committed a horrible action and a horrible mistake with his invasion, but we shouldn't be astounded, and I'm not sure we have any justifiable claim for war crimes yet.
Well, you know, Sandy, it just gets to be more and more frustrating, and all the more reason that we need to find a way out of this as soon as we possibly can, right? The longer it goes, the more there's going to be that. I mean, you are going to do something, you're going to anger me, and I'm going to do whatever it is. I'm going to remember what it was you did. And so the more we see those things, the more difficult a process it is for us to even think about there being any chance to sit down and have a conversation that we can have about ending it, right? I mean,
yeah, and that's one of the problems with fanning the flames of this whole war crimes issue, is that it does make it harder to negotiate when you successfully paint the opponent in a war as the devil. Then it's pretty hard to sit down at a table with the devil and come back and say you've reached a mutually satisfactory peace based on the conduct that you previously described as the conduct of the devil.
Hey, Sandy, I know you got to run. We'll reconnect again on Friday.
No, Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Monday. All right. Okay. Thank you very much, man.
See you.
Bye. I always appreciate, you know, Sandy Williams and, you know, his perspective on things so well thought out, so philosophical. But, you know, the beauty of Sandy Williams is he can put it in simplest terms. You know, none of us want to see anybody harmed, any person who has a conscience does not want to see people hurt or harmed. But he also sees it from the perspective of, you know, we've done some things ourselves. War is what you need to do, try to avoid at all costs. Because there's never, even when there's winners, there's no winners. Can you imagine what people have to live with knowing what they've done? We see it in our own nation where poor guys who've been engaged and involved in war, you know, sleeping under bridges, eating out of garbage cans. Their lives are never the same. There's never any peace. They can't have any peace because of things they've had to do. Doesn't matter how many medals you pin on a person. What we're asking people to do is inhumane. And you can't say, well, it's because it's war and that's okay. No, that's not the case. We have to do everything within our power to avoid war. Men and women have not been created to destroy the lives of others. And the hardening of the heart that it takes in order to do those things is also not a normal or natural thing. So, you know, it hurts to see that footage. And I think that they do that so we can become more angry at the other side. But it's war. And nobody ever said that was going to be easy. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back.